Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 29 from 1 to 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 29 from verse number 1 through 9. And I'm going to be reading from the NIV, the New International Version. It says, Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. In the first month of the first year of his reign, he opened the doors of the temple of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in the priests and the Levites, assembled them in the square on the east side, and said, "Listen to me, Levites, consecrate now and consecrate the temple of the Lord, the God of our ancestors. Remove all defilement from the sanctuary. Our parents were unfaithful. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord our God and forsook him. They turned their faces away from the Lord's dwelling place and turned their backs on him. They also shut the doors of the portico and put out the lamps. They did not burn incense or present any burnt offerings at the sanctuary to the God of Israel. Therefore, the anger of the Lord has fallen on Judah and Jerusalem. He has made them an object of dread and horror and scorn, as you can see with your own eyes." The last verse says, "This is why our fathers have fallen by the sword, and why our sons and daughters and our wives are in captivity." Today I want to talk to you about revival. I want to talk to you about revival. Now, what is the meaning of the word revival? Revival means to rekindle. It means to rekindle. It also means to come alive. It means an awakening. It also means renewal. Hallelujah. It means to come to the place where we recognize the greatness and the awesomeness and the holiness of God. Revival takes place. What some of the manifestations of revival is a hunger for God. When we hunger and long for more of Jesus, that is when revival takes place. An individual is going through a revival, you can tell because they have a hunger for God in their hearts. There is such a passion and a desire and a longing for God and for his word and for his house. That is what revival is all about. I don't know about you, but I am praying for an old-fashioned revival in our land. And folks, after the pandemic, oh my God, we need a revival. If you study through the Old Testament and the New Testament, you will discover that whenever there were devastating issues, some tough times, some challenging moments occurs, at the end of that, there is always an awakening. There is always a renewal. There is always an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the land. And you and I, if you live in America or any part of the world, particularly in the Western world, suffered greatly from the pandemic. The number of deaths, the number of casualties and health issues that took place, I want you to know something, that all these things we've gone through is not going to be in vain. It's not going to be for nothing. I believe strongly there is coming an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our land, upon our nation, upon our city. Can I get an amen, church? Anybody hungry for revival? Anybody hungry for a move of God in their lives? Amen. We need revival. We need an awakening. We need to wake up in our walk with God, in our relationship with God, because the pandemic has done a lot of devastation on many people's prayer life. Our word life has been affected. And a lot of people no longer praying like they used to pray, not spending time in the Word of God, not seeking after God, not going after the heart of God. I am praying for you individually. I am praying for nations and countries and the city of Lithonia and the state of Georgia, that we will witness and experience a move of God like we have never experienced before. Can I get an amen, church? That's my prayer. As I spend time with God, I pray, I say, God, revive your church. Revive your people. Restore us back to where we are. Take us beyond where we are. Raise up a mighty army in this end time. Let there be such a deluge of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that will cause us to run after God like never before. Come on, say amen, church. So revival is a state of spiritual awakening. From a place of dormancy, from apathy and stagnation in the life of the believer. It involves the resurfacing of a love for God, an appreciation of God's holiness, a passion for His word and His church. A passion not just for God, not just for His word, but a passion for His church. A returning back to the church and returning back to God. Revival comes when we become so hungry for more of Jesus in our lives. Anybody hungry to say, God, I want more of you in my life? Anybody? Hunger for His word. But let's go back to where we just read 2 Chronicles chapter 29. It's about a young man by the name of Hezekiah. He took over, he began to reign in the land at the age of 25. And when he took it over, prior to him taking over, there were things happening in the land. The people of Judah had turned their backs on God. They were going through so many challenges, so many brokenness, so many lack and depravity, all kinds of things happening in the land. There were a lot of issues going on for which there was no issue for. If you look at our nation today, there's so much happening. There's so much division in Washington, D.C. There's so much problem going on among races, between black and white, among people. There's so much crime going on, and they don't seem to be an answer. How many people getting shot? When you go up north like Wisconsin and Chicago and many of those places there, the amount of things going on, the number of deaths, people are afraid to walk on the street. And guess what? The policemen have no answers. The governors have no answer. The president has no answer. Whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, the answer is not in Washington. The answer is in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Come on, can I get an amen this morning, church? The answer is going to come from the church. The answer is going to come through revival, through a spiritual awakening. There's so much darkness that has covered the land, the nation. There's so much going on in our land right now for which no politician has the answer for. Whether it's what is happening in Israel, the fight between Hamas and Israel, the killing, the devastation, whether it's terrorism, everywhere you go. You know, people say, well, if I leave this country and go to that country, things will be better. The answer is not geography or changing place. The answer is in the person of Jesus Christ. It's when we return back to God. That's when we begin to see. Come on, are you hearing me this morning, church? We have to return back to God. Here is what happened. The people, why were they going through the things they were going through? The Bible tells us that they had abandoned God. They had abandoned God. They have stopped praying. They have stopped seeking the face of God. They have stopped going to church and seeking God and building a relationship with God. They were facing many challenges and difficulties. The reason why all this was happening was because they had turned their backs on God. Child of God, when you turn your back on God, you are turning your back on the one that can heal you, on the one that can change you, on the one that can turn things around in your life. May I say something to you? When you're going through a difficult time, that is no time to turn your back on God. When things are not working, that is no time to run away from God. That's the time to run into the arms of God. That is no time to abandon God. When things are going well, when things are going bad, every season of your life is no time to turn your back on God. And that's what these people did. They had turned their backs on God. Their marriages were falling apart. Their lives were falling apart. Nothing was working in their land. This went on for decades. It was not just a matter of 1 year or 10 years. It went on for decades. And this guy by the name of Hezekiah showed up and said, look here, I'm not going to allow things to remain the way they are. God's house was abandoned. The church of God had collected dust. The doors had broken down. Nobody was going to church. The menorah, which is the light, there was no light in the temple. The curtain in the sanctuary had fallen because there was no activity. There was negligence. There was indifference and apathy. And that's also the same thing in our nation today. There's so much apathy and indifference towards God. There are people who feel, I've got a good job. I've got a car. I've got a house. I don't need God. But listen to me. It doesn't matter what you have. You still need to have a relationship with God. There are people who feel, I've got a good job, I've got a car, I've got this, I've got that, but I'm telling you, none of those things were designed to fill the void that exists on the inside of you. Come on, can I get amen this morning, church? Thank God for a car. Thank God for a house. Thank God for money. Thank God for a good job. But I'm telling you, those things have limitations. Those things can only take you so far. You have to have a relationship with the creator of the universe. Am I talking to anybody this morning, church? And people had abandoned God. And they've turned their backs on God. And the sanctuary was now collecting dust. Oh, may I tell you that since 2020, since the pandemic began, not only was the sanctuary collecting dust, but you know that you are the temple of God, and your temple is gathering dust. Why is it gathering dust? Inactivity, negligent. Can I get an amen? Your knees have become too soft. What happened to us as a result of the... Come on, am I helping anybody this morning, church? Your prayer closet, we have to go back and dust out the prayer closet and clean it out and go back there. And if we do that, we will see things begin to happen in our homes. Many of our children are just acting one way or the other, just out of, and we say, well, it's just America. Oh, no, it's just the land. Or that's just the signs of the time. No. We have to go back to the closet and say, certain things happening in our home, it's not permissible. We are not going to put up with it. It's not acceptable here. I'm willing to pay the price on my knees. It's time to go back to the closet, child of God. And that was the same thing happening here. When Hezekiah took place, there was inactivity. Nothing was going on. There was no praise worship service. There was no the word of God being preached. People were not coming to church. Nothing was happening. And as a result of that, the Bible says, there became and difficulties and devastation were taking place. Are going well. Money in the bank. A good car in the garage. And things are going well. People seem to be very dormant and callous and no prayer and nothing happening. Child of God, I don't care what season you are in. David says something. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times and his praises shall... Am I helping this morning, church? There was no worship in the temple. There was no preaching in the temple. There was nothing going on. The menorah was put out. There is nothing happening. Not because God has retired from miracles. Not because God is no longer doing what he used to do. Because the scripture tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm tired of people talking about what God did 10 years ago, 20 years ago. In the first month of the first year of his reign, is you cannot come in. Put up the repair the door. And much more now than ever before, we need that. It was Dr. Martin Luther King who stated that Sunday morning has become the most segregated hour. That's become the most segregated hour. You know, I used to have a lady who used to come to our church here before. She's white. She used to come here. She was a member here. She said, I love you here. I'm growing here. And she came to me one day and said, Pastor, I love you. I love the church, but I can't come here no more. I said, why? Is it because I want my daughter to play with her own kind? I was offended by that. I said, your own kind. And I didn't know when I said this. Are we, am I an animal? Are we animal kind? And that is the division that exists in the church today. Can I get an amen this morning, church? And that division is orchestrated by the devil. I believe God wants our church to look like the way heaven is going to look like one day. Hispanics, blacks, whites. It doesn't matter what nation you come from. Come on now. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Overcomers, if you listen to me on Shimmy Life, we must, Hezekiah repaired the door. Our doors are messed up. We must widen the door. We must repair the door. We must not let them change before they come. When you come here, the changer is here. Can I get an amen this morning, church? And we must be patient when they come. That I'm going to love you until Jesus changes you. Hezekiah repaired the door. And you know what has been happening the last 1 year? The church has been abandoned. The church has been neglected. And there's so much inactivity. One of the things I hate about this pandemic is that it kept us away from coming together. You know why the devil is against our coming together? Something extraordinary always happens when we come together. Every time we pray together, every time we worship together, there is a power that is generated that is greater than an individual prayer. Amen. Corporate prayer is greater and stronger than individual prayer. Hezekiah repaired the door. And after repairing the door, the next thing he did, he restored the high priest and the Levites. That's what the scripture says. He got the Levites back, put them back in their place. He got the high priest back, he brought in the priest and the Levites. The priest and the Levites. What does the priest and the Levites represent? The priest represent the pastor, the preaching of the word, the declaring of the word of God. Much more now than ever before, we must restore the word of God back to the church. We must preach Jesus and not religion or our opinion or what we are thinking. We must preach Jesus and him crucified. Can I get amen, church? Hezekiah restored the word. Why the word? Oh my God. Why the word? Because without the word, you won't make it. Your marriage will not make it. You will not make it in any area. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, by what? By the proceeding word. And today there's so much religion and so much popular opinion in the land. But Hezekiah knew that if we're going to have revival, if we're going to have a move of God, we can't have a move of God outside of the word of God. So the first thing he did, he put back the priests in their place. But not only did he put the priests back in their place, but he restored the Levites back in their place. What does the Levite represent? In other words, there was a new sound that was coming into the house of God. The sound of worship, the sound of praise, the sound of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Not worship coming from the head, but worship that is coming from the heart. What my mouth is saying is what my heart is saying. Are you hearing me? He restored worship back. If we're to go back, that's the building. But if we're to go back to your temple. But go back to your temple. When was the last time you worshiped God at home? The reason why you come here and you don't worship because you don't worship at home. It starts at home. I believe many of the things happening in your home, if you bring the ark back and begin to worship and begin to praise him and begin to exalt him, you will see the move of God in a way you have never seen before in your life. We have to get back. So, you know, I was talking to one of my friends and his son died. He's 15 years old, died. And I was visiting with him yesterday. And he said, you know what? I could have sunk into depression. I said, what happened? He said, oh no, there was this wave of depression, hopelessness that was coming to me. I said, then how did you overcome it? He said, I just put on a worship CD and I sing along with it. And I worship with it. I go to my closet and I sit there and I worship him. And as I worship him, he said, I have to combat the wave of depression that the devil was bringing against me. I had to go into spiritual warfare in terms of worship. He said, Pastor, he said, man of God, I worship God. I began to worship. He said, if I did not worship, I would have drowned in depression. And many of you watching me right now, God is asking you, it's time to go back to the place of praise and worship. Not only when you come to church, but in your car, wherever you are. The scripture says, let everything that has breath, whether you feel like it or not, praise him. Whether things are working or not, praise him. Whether your husband is working or not, praise him. Whether you have symptoms in your body, praise him. Regardless of what is going on, somebody, come on, let's take a praise break right now and give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, let's take a praise break. Come on, say, Jesus, I love you. I praise you. I adore you. I exalt you. Pastor, my husband is acting up. God is seemed to tell you that you've prayed. Come on, somebody shift. Hallelujah. To tell you that all the phone calls into your destiny, into your calling, into your assignment. But it said to me, as you praise me, as you worship me, as you restore worship, not just on Sunday morning, but as a lifestyle. Come and clap your hands, everybody, and celebrate God. Hallelujah. We have to. You know what I'm talking about? The Bible says he put the Levites back. We need to praise, put praise back. We need to put worship back. Am I talking to the right church this morning, church? God said to tell you, you are so dry on worship. I'm praising me. He said, not just what you do here today. I'm seeing another man. There's a man. And you have an illness in your body that you've been battling. You've been battling, and the doctor is saying that. The doctor is saying this. But God is saying, if you would just begin to praise me for the next 7 days, morning, afternoon, evening, just for the next 7 days, don't pray, don't ask me, just praise me, just bless me. It's as you begin to do that, healing will begin to be manifested in your body. In the name of Jesus, help me rejoice in the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Please sit down. Hezekiah restored the Levites back. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 137 and verse number 1, you say that Israel sat, they say, there on the poplars we hung our harps. Israel is in captivity. Israel is in captivity. And they are in bondage. And the Bible says they sat by the rivers of Babylon. They were in captivity in Babylon. And because of what they were going through, because of the disappointment and the captivity, they took their harp. A problem. Worship will not reverse our captivity. Worship is not going to do this. It's an exercise in futility. They hung their harps. And God is saying to tell you that the church has hung their harps. When I talk about the church, I'm talking about you as an individual. You've hung your harps. You've stopped praising. You've stopped worshiping. But God said the reversal of your captivity is in your praise. It's in your worship. It's in your celebration. It's a force. Are you hearing me this morning, church? As a single mother, you have a son, and you just keep worrying over your son, your imagination. Don't say anything about him. Good God, and you will see my goodness manifested in the life of your son. Are you hearing me this morning? And he restored the Levites. He restored the Levites and the priests. He repaired the door. You know what thing I've noticed during this pandemic is, people have gotten to a place where they feel, I don't need church. I can stay at home and watch TV. Yeah. I can lay on my bed and watch TV and watch the screen. Yeah, that's it. So people have now redefined the word of God. so I don't have to go to church. There's something about coming to this ground here. David said, better is one day. You didn't hear what I said, church. David said, better is one day in your house than 1,000 elsewhere. David said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in your house than go anywhere else. Why was David saying this? You have to go to David's house to find out why he wants to run to God's house. Let's go to David's house. In David's house, there was incest going on in David's house. Incest going on in David's house. Not only that, there was rebellion going on. Not only that, there was incest because of one of David's sons slept with David's half-sister. Not only that, when Absalom waited for days, the Bible says Absalom waited to see if his father would do something to what has been done to his younger sister. Nothing happened. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 1 week, 1 month. Absalom took law into his own hands, invited his brother out, and when nobody was watching, he murdered him. So there was murder in David's house. There was incest in David's house. His own son then came after the throne, wanted to take over the throne. And in the midst of all these things going on, David said, I'm going to your house, God. He said, I'm going to your house. Better is one day. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us. Because when I go into the house of the Lord, something is going to happen. Are you hearing me now? Something is going to happen. It could be from the hog. It could be from the shake. It could be from, I don't know, but something is going to be stirred up there. It could be from the worship. It could be from the preaching. It could be from, but I know when I step into the house of God, I am not returning back the same way I went. We must begin to restore community back. Fellowship back. We must restore that because the pandemic and the devastation of what has happened has affected people to God's house. There's a lot of passivity and spiritual indifference towards the house of God. The king knew that nothing will change in the land. Nothing will happen in their homes, in their marriages, in their situation until the priests are restored back, until the Levites are restored back, until the door of the temple and the house of God is built back. Nothing will happen. Then he did something else again. Here's another thing he did. He invited all of them. He invited all of them to meet him at the East Street. The same scripture, 4 and 5, in the King James Version, Hezekiah says, anybody who wants to see a move of God in their home, anybody who wants to see a move of God in their lives, anybody who wants to see change, tell them to meet me on East Street. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together in where? Look at that. Into the watch, into the... Come on, tell somebody, meet me at the East Street. Hezekiah ushered or he invited people. He said, hey, do you need healing in your body? Meet me at each street. Do you need restoration in your life? Meet me at each street. Do you need to see a turnaround? Do you want to see a God intervention in your situation? Meet me where? Come and tell your neighbor at the each street. Hezekiah was blown away because the following morning when he came to the East Street, he saw thousands of people at the East Street. He wasn't expecting that many people. But what happened was that people were tired of the way things were. They wanted a change. They wanted their lives transformed. They wanted their life changed by the power of God. They had issues at home. They wanted their husband transformed, their wives transformed, their children transformed. They showed up because they were hungry. They want to see a move of child of God. The move of God will cost you something. It will cost you something. When they gathered at the East Street, he said, let's go into the temple and clean it out. You want to see a move of God? Clean up. I see you are not clapping in this one anymore. You want to see a move of God? As the car said, let's go back into the temple.
get the dust out. Get bitterness. Get the sin out of your life. Those freaky things you're doing, get them out of your life. Oh, you want to see God intervene? Then get the junk out of your life. Get your pipes and for your drawers. Gather them. Am I talking to somebody this morning, church? I used to have a man in the old church when he came to church. His name was Bradley. Some of you may remember Deacon Bradley. When he came to church, he was such a chronic alcoholic. He said he would drink from sunrise to sundown on Sunday mornings. But when he came to church and encountered Jesus Christ, he told me he went home and opened up the seat and poured out every alcohol in the sink. Today's repentance is different from, you know, some people, it's like, well, you know, how do I describe? Today's repentance, at least let me drink it till it's finished. I won't waste the money. No, he opened up the toilet and poured everything out. What was he saying? If God is good, I need to clean up. Tell your neighbor, it's time to clean up. He gathered them, everybody at the east street, and they went into the temple and they began to clean it out. They began to wipe up the dust. They began to set up the curtains. They began to repair whatever was damaged in the house. The menorah, they lit it up again. And think, come on, anybody wants revival, you have to clean up. It's too much. Unforgiveness, bitterness. I mean, husband and wives will go for 2-3 days. They won't speak to each other because I'm offended. We have to clean up. You want the move of God? Clean up. Take your pipe and set it to the side. Take your bottle and say, Jesus, clean me up. God, I need your help in my... Oh, you are not with me on this one here. Clean up. Get rid of hatred and bitterness and strife and the inability to get along with people. He said, clean up. We have to clean up the temple. He took them into the temple. They gathered all the dust. They gathered all everything. And the Bible says he took them to the Kidron River. They went to, there's a river called Kidron in Judah. He went there and he told them, and they took everything that they gathered and poured it in the river so that the river can wash it away. What is God saying to us? Take your bitterness and put it in the river of the Holy Spirit. Take your unforgiveness and let's drown it in the river. Come on, anybody want to see a move of God in their lives? Anybody? Any man? Any woman? Then it's time to clean up. Because they went to the river where the river was flowing and they poured everything there. Child of God, it's time for us to go to the Holy Spirit and allow him to wash us and allow him to take away every yoke, every addiction, every shackle, every bondage. It's time for us to go and let the river of the Holy Spirit wash us out. And when they went to the river, and they dumped everything. Those of you watching me, if you're struggling with drug addiction, with one alcoholism or one perversion of the other, it's time for us to gather them, not put up another night, another day with it. It's time to go to the river of the Holy Spirit and say, I need you, wash me, cleanse me. I'm ready to see a move of God in my life. And here's what happened. when they went to the Kidron River and they drowned everything. The Bible says in 8 days, everything was restored. What took over 20 years? What took decades? In 8 days, there was a total restoration. You may have been an alcoholic for 30 years, but it's not going to take 30 years for God to clean you up and to set you free and to deliver you from any bondage. It doesn't matter how long you've been tied to the same situation. The power of God can so clean you up that those who used to know you will not recognize you. Here is my prayer for you. I am praying that the fire of the Holy Spirit will so come afresh on your life that those who used to know you, by the moment they see you again, they will not recognize you because of what the power of the Holy Ghost has done in your life. That's my prayer for you today. And there will come a fresh fire. And that this fire will melt anything that does not look like Jesus Christ. Is somebody with me this morning, church? I want you to stand to your feet this morning. I want the fire of God. I want the fire of the Holy Spirit to come afresh upon our church, to come upon Overcomers Christian Fellowship. My prayers, let the fire fall. Come on, I said, let the fire fall. You didn't hear me. I said, let the fire fall. Let the fire fall upon your husband. Let the fire fall upon your wife. Let the fire fall on your children. Let the fire fall on our children. Somebody shout, let the fire fall. Come on, say it again, let the fire fall. In 8 days, what was abandoned and neglected for 20, 30 years, in a short time, there was such a transformation. I know there's somebody watching me even right now, and you've been battling drug addiction, and you've tried to quit, you've tried to give it up, you've done everything you could on your own, but you just can't shake it off. You can't give it up. Here is what God asked me to tell you. In a moment, I'm going to pray, and I'm asking that the fire of the Holy Spirit will come afresh on you and melt away the appetite and the desire for drug addiction to melt away from your mouth, because God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You have God designed you to do something great for Him. Those of you struggling with drug addiction, I am praying that the fire of the Holy Spirit will come afresh on you this morning and to revive you and to renew you and to refresh you and to restore you. Anybody hungry this morning? Anybody hungry for the move of God? Come on, anybody hungry this morning? Say, God, I'm hungry. God, I need you in my life. The fire of the Holy Spirit like never before. Hezekiah restored worship. Hezekiah restored everything. And at the end of the day, he said, let's go to the Kidron River. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We need the fire of the Holy Spirit. We need the river to wash sicknesses. We need the river to wash diseases in our lives. We need the river to wash our sins. We need the river to drown out every form of bondage and addiction and chains. We need the river of the Holy Spirit to drown out that which is not of God in our lives. Can somebody shout amen? I pray for you this morning that the Lord will rekindle your flame. I want you to be burning for God. I want you to be red hot for God. I want you to be on fire for God. I don't want you to be passive. God does not want you to be cold and lukewarm and passive. He wants you red hot for Him. He wants you burning in the fire of the Holy Spirit. He wants you burning for Him. He wants you burning for Him. Not cold. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Not church as usual. I'm tired of church as usual. A lady walked in today
into my office as a pastor, I've come with an expectation. I am expecting God to do something today. Folks, there's such a presence of God in this room here right now. I said there's such a presence of God in this house.
Thank you for tuning in to the message brought to you today by Overcomers Christian Fellowship. If this message has been a blessing to you, will you consider partnering with us? Your financial contribution will go towards furthering the gospel here in the United States and abroad. Overcomers Christian Fellowship greatly appreciates your contribution and pray that it is met 100-fold. May God's countenance shine upon you and his hand steadily be upon your life. You can connect with our ministry by visiting www.ocfinternational.org.